Welcome to Healing School. So, over the next few weeks, in the whole month of January, on Wednesdays, we're going to be doing Healing School. Now, let me just give a little background before I do what I want to do. It's okay, thank you. We're going to do Healing School, but this, we're going to learn about healing. But, in fact, I'm going to do my level best not to lay hands on anyone. I'm going to do my level best not to lay hands on anyone. So we're going to do Healing School, but we're going to learn healing such that you can receive healing for yourself anytime, anywhere, anywhere. Okay? You're going to learn how healing works. Okay. Now, this is not the kind of thing you hear for someone else, even though you can hear it for someone else. Last year I told you that there are these particular subjects in the faith that you cannot afford to be an expert. There are subjects that you must continuously bring back to mind. And I said one of the subjects is what? The leading of the Spirit, and then healing, and then what? The love walk, or walking in love. And I promise to teach healing. But I'm so convinced right now is the best time to do this series on healing. Now, I want to start like this because this testimony is going to help us with the first lesson we're going to do today. Okay? So Brother Robert is going to come up here. There's a testimony shared with me last year around November, December, okay? So we're going to start with this testimony. Listen very well, and I'm going to use this testimony to teach what I want to teach today. Are we fine? Okay. We have about a few minutes. Maybe 4 or 5.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I thank you, Apostle, also for the opportunity to share my testimony. Now, about, I think, like, for people at the headquarters, I've shared this testimony before, but maybe to the General Assembly, you haven't heard my testimony. Well, like, about, I think, like, 5 years ago, I developed a complication. My complication was very, very hard for any physician to understand, even diagnose. You know, I developed pain in my body that stretched from my lower back. It went up to my upper back. And now it spread now into my entire body. I became almost like I couldn't support myself. You know, I couldn't stand for even an hour, like standing in one place for an hour, I couldn't. I couldn't do things on my own. I couldn't lie in one place, like for long. I started having very sleepless nights. Too much pain. If I try to stretch or exercise, I would feel like my flesh is literally separating from my bones. You know, I feel like if I did this, I would feel like the flesh is going off my bones and with a lot of pain. You know? Pain stretched now into my rib area and it was all over my body. It was constant. It's not this kind of pain that was on and off. This one was constant. You know? I reached out to, my God, talk of any hospital in Uganda here, any famous hospital we know of. I went there. I went to Mulago. I went to Novik. I went to this independent hospital. I went to Lifelink. I went to Ruhaga. I went to Gaba. I even got contacts now with friends or people. I needed help. I needed immediate relief in my body. And every doctor I went to, they all failed to understand what was wrong with me. Now they started putting me in machines to heat my back. You know, hot machines, you know, for like a period of weeks, and nothing was happening. I shifted to another hospital. They would do all the thorough checks, and there's nothing. They did a lot of x-rays on me until when one of the doctors in one of the bone hospitals, I think it's called Kosu, along Entebbe Road, told me, you know what, you have done a lot of x-rays. You just can't expose yourself to all these radiations. It's too dangerous for you. You now just have to live on medication. Now, I switched from now the physicians. I now started consulting, how do they call them? Before the herbalists, they told me about these massage parlors, you know. I visited different massage parlors until I visited even those that were started doing other things. You know? I remember Pastor, I ever reached out to you one time and I was like, I need a massage place where I can go and they work on me. And I remember you recommended the place. I went there. Things didn't happen. You know? I reached out to Pastor Monica. Pastor Monica had, by then she was working in Malago, she had a friend. I'm sure you know him, Pastor, called Owens. Now, I explained my condition. Pastor Monica told me, you know what? There is only one person I know of that is good. That is that one. He will diagnose you and I assure you, you reach to the conclusion of this. I'm like, okay, let me meet the guy. I met the guy and the guy said, it is okay, let me work on you. Trust me, you will be well. That guy worked on me for over 2 years. And there was no change. Now, when I talk about years, it's not like I just visit and he looks at me and I go back. No. Whenever I visit, checkups, medicines, paying money, do this, do that, until when he also failed. Now, his last resort was, he told me, there is some expert I know, he's a physician, that man has ever worked on my wife. He's an expert, he started from US, he did this, you know. He's the only one I know in Uganda. He worked on my wife had a complication, and this man is the only one who helped my wife. Let me recommend. So, he gave me the person's number. He actually called him in my presence and gave me his number. The physician told me, yeah, please come, set an appointment. I got there, and of course when somebody talks of an expert, they're not just experts in treatment, but also in soliciting for money, you know. So you go there, the first visit, consultation alone, 250,000. Because I was desperate, I paid. He worked on me. I was with him for 1 month. I kept on going back. He gives me medication. Come back after 1 week. I go back. Time came when we also failed. Now, I said, I need to go off drugs. At one time, they told me my body was now poisoned with drugs. I needed to detox my body. So I underwent a program of detoxifying my body. You know? It was too much. So, after that, when I got tired of all these drugs, and by the way, that pain now was growing into other complications. Time came now when my body would heat up. Like if I put on a wet cloth right now, by the time we are done, it's completely dry and even hot. My body would heat up. I wouldn't sleep with anyone. I would feel hot. I tried dropping complications. I could not stay hungry for even an hour. I couldn't. All the time I had to be eating, having something in my stomach. Time came when I started bleeding internally. That's how terrible it was. And everyone, I started visiting now pastors. I need prayers. They took me to different prophets, prayers. I was desperate. I needed help. Nothing was happening. Now, time came when I got tired of all of that. And I said, God, won't you just do a miracle for me in my body and heal me? And I said, God, if you heal me, I trust you, I'll testify. I'll testify of your goodness and I'll live to tell people of your goodness. Now, I prayed, I kept coming to church, praying, no change, no whatever. And time came where I couldn't even share my condition with anyone. Now, at one time, as we were praying with a certain gentleman, he told me, we were just praying and told me, God is showing me that you have some veins bleeding in your system. But if you can only trust in God, God will heal you. Now, I heard that, and to me it was like a myth. I heard it because the condition had been there for long. I said, maybe he will. And trust me, it didn't happen, like for years. You know, I even forgot about it. And I can't remember my situation. So time came when I convinced now myself that actually, this is how I am meant to be all my life. You know? I kept on drugs. If you ask even my parents, people who have lived with me, they will tell you that this man, talk of drugs, I went now for herbalists. They would give me all kinds of juices, what liquids, drink, what? Eh? But I never went to the shrine at least, so that's what I did. But, you know, they gave me all sorts of concoctions I would take, but no change. Now, when I got tired, at that time, I gave up on my back because I knew that is me. Now I said, let me concentrate on the issue of my stomach. I need help there. You know, I couldn't fast at all. Now I started handling the issue of the stomach. Now the stomach also, I got different medications from different places, from different doctors. Until at one time, my mom told me, you know what, you'll die of drugs. Give up on drugs. So when she told me that, I gave up. Now I gave up. And I rested for about, I think, 3 or 4 months. And the thing came back this time full swing. So when it came back, I decided to go back to drugs. Now, this is my testimony. I'm so sorry. I was trying to explain my issue. It was really a long one. But anyway, cutting the whole long story short, around last year, that was our last Bible seminar on the 20th of November. I remember at that time, now, the bleeding issue had stopped some time back, and I didn't even realize. I just woke up after some months and wasn't bleeding. Then I said, when did this thing end? The bleeding had stopped. But the back issue, the general body pain, the stomach issue was there. Now, it was an opportunity during the Bible seminar. I don't know how God did it for me that I was put on the program for praying that morning. I remember preparing days before. I told God, this time as I step into that place for Bible seminar, God, please do a miracle for me. Those were my words. And I told God, as I'm serving your servant that morning, because I was in charge of the preacher, I said, God, as I serve your servant, that morning, as I meet him like this, the anointing upon his life, I pray, it hits me, and I get my healing. I prayed those prayers like days before, as I was preparing. And I remember that night, before the Bible seminar, I lost sleep at around 2 a.m. I went to bed at around 10 because I had prepared, I had ironed, everything was ready. At around 2 a.m. I lost sleep. I woke up. I couldn't sleep. I said, ladies, an opportunity for me to pray. Because the pastor told us that, you know, sometimes you lose sleep and you just take it literally. But God is helping you to yield. So I woke up. I started praying. I prayed in tongues all through up to around 3. Now at 3, I got into the bathroom. I bathed. I prepared. I put on and I sat waiting for daybreak and move out. I remember at exactly 5, I got a border bill from my place to Eliana. I remember I slept in that place. I only found Sister Tezra. Sister Tezra had come. She was even in the waiting area. They had opened the hall. So we sat there, we conversed a bit, and I was like, ah, Sister Tezra, you were so early. Now in my mind, I was like, maybe she also has issues like mine, probably. She, you know? But I never wanted to mention. So, we went up to the hall, we stood out there, we waited, I think after like 6:30, they came and opened. So when they opened, we entered in and started praying. We prayed for some time, and then it was now time for the official prayer. You know, we all engaged, people came in, we prayed, and now the session was done, and now it was my time to go for the man of God in his hotel room somewhere. And I remember moving out, and I was telling God, as I meet this man, I'm telling you, I just want that anointing to hit me first before even the church shares of it. Let it hit me and I get my healing. I remember going to Apostle's room. I knocked and they opened. Apostle didn't even know what it was. But in my heart, I was like, God, this is it. When I saw Apostle, I said, God, I receive my healing. You know, I ushered in Apostle. He came, he preached, and afterwards he moved out, took him back. Now, when he came back, I think it was either the second session or the third session. He was preaching. I was seated just behind his seat. He was preaching, and then I remember he read one of the usual scriptures that we know in Mark 16, and was explaining tongues, 15, 16, 17, all through, and was talking about the speaking in tongues, was talking about laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. And I remember he mentioned something, and he said, you know, if it is a demon, you just have to cast it out. If it is a illness, you have to lay hands. And then he mentioned something and said that, you know, there was a time I also, that is how I got healed of ulcers and what and what. Now, when he mentioned those things, I was seated at the front. I felt a certain kind of, you know, like cold water, ice water, going through my body. Like, you know, I was seated, I felt something cold going through my system, like from up downwards, like this. I felt it, and I held my Bible together like this. I didn't know what was happening at that time. It didn't even cross my mind that maybe that was a moment for me. I was maybe getting delivered. It never crossed my mind. Now, after lunch, you know, I came back to my conscious mind. I said, but you know, I haven't eaten the whole day. How come? Like from morning, I haven't eaten. I reached out to Pastor Ronald's wife. Pastor Ronald's wife was at the back. She told me, I'm going out to pick something for the children. So I told her, please, help me also. Here is my money. At least grab me some yogurt from the supermarket as you come back. She said, it's okay. So I gave her the money, and I remained behind praying with the people. You know, there was a prayer session going on. I remained behind praying for the people. And so when she came back, I looked around to look for her. She was nowhere to be seen. I never saw her again. I went for the apostle. He came in for the third session. We sat. He preached. We finished. He went back. In the evening, the session was done. Prayers were done. In the evening, as we are moving out, I see her. She's like, I've been looking for you. She's carrying my yogurt. She's carrying my, I don't know if it's a donut or a cake. I held them. And I'm like, but now, what can I use them for right now? Let me just I put them in my bag. And I remember that time we had another session with the pastors where they were going, we went. And my day carried on up to around 10 p.m. in the night. So 10 p.m. in the night, I go home. Now, it was the first day in over 5 years that I would stay without eating anything. Pastor, I should apologize. For me, when you used to say we fast, for me, I couldn't. I couldn't. If it were a gun, I couldn't do anything. Whenever I say fast, for me, I wouldn't. I would attempt, but I just find myself eating. I couldn't. I should apologize. So, that was the first day I stayed without eating anything. So, when I got home, 10, 11, I'm like, okay, let me prepare something for myself. So, I prepared something and I ate. Now, what I didn't tell you, that week of the Bible seminar, I had been put back on medication for 6 weeks. And was running in 3 lots. They first gave me the first lot for 2 weeks. They told me after that, 2 weeks go back. I went back for the second lot. I went back for the second lot. Which second lot was ending on a day which was a Wednesday. And that Wednesday, I was again on the program leading prayers. I couldn't go now for the third lot. I told God, you know, and by then I think there was a bomb blast in town. I said, now for me I won't even go. Because now I had now gotten another expert somewhere in Rubaga Road that side. So I said, this time, let me wait, maybe I'll go on Friday. Because now I'm on prayer program, I can't go. Maybe I'll go on a Friday. So when Friday came, I said, but again, even in the city, there is chaos, bomb blast, what? Let me wait. So the Bible seminar happens in the same week I was supposed to have gone back for the third load. So, long story short, I didn't go. Bible seminar ended. And there was nothing happening. Waking up the following day in the morning, I would feel this freshness in my body. I would feel the freshness, no pain, no nothing. And of course, maybe I was living in some sort of unbelief. I kept on crying out, stretching to feel the pain. It was nowhere to be seen. And as we talk right now, ever since then, I never went back for the third lot. The doctor has never seen me again. I am totally healed. No pain, no stomach issues. I can go hungry for full day, even for days, with no pain. All the general body, the back aches and everything is completely gone. I'm standing here, totally healed, as you can see me. I really want to thank God so much. And I'm telling people there is grace in this place. There is grace upon these men of God. Wow. When I got my miracle, I don't know what you are really targeting for yourself, but for me, that was my thing. I said to God, when I meet this man, and sir, I honor you and I respect you. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Now, I know it's a long story, but it is very essential to what I'm teaching. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have shared it. And so we start. Today we're going to finish at 6:30. So let me prepare in advance, okay? So, there are different ways that people get healing. Now, if you've been in our meetings for the last month, you have noticed that we have called out some people for healing by word of knowledge, right? By word of knowledge. So, there is healing that happens when God initiates, okay? By word of knowledge. If I call out a condition by word of knowledge today, I am 110% sure that that person is getting their healing instantly. However, more often than not, there is much great power when the individual who needs the healing initiates the healing. What do I mean? When the person who requires a healing reaches out, that reaching out becomes faith. Amen. And you're going to notice that all over the scriptures, this is the most common way that healings happened in Jesus' ministry. Amen. Now, I've told people a question. I've told them that if Pastor Benny Hinn came and did a crusade, one of the main reasons you'll have, yes, there's a grace on his life, it's given. One of the reasons that you'll have a lot of healing is because many people come to the meeting when they already believe they're going to get healed. Many people come to that meeting when they have already said how they are going to get healed. In fact, many, if I've read the books, I've read a book by T.L. Osborne. I think it's called Healing the Sick. You will find that many times, even before the evangelist reaches the ground, people already got healed. It's not magic. And that's what I'm going to teach us today. When it comes to healing, you can take vital, accurate steps to initiate your healing. You can take vital, accurate steps to initiate your healing. This testimony is very significant because he said that when I see the man of God, I am going to receive my miracle. In fact, you received the miracle the moment you saw the man of God. Amen. But you have been in meetings he was teaching earlier. But there is an expectation you attach to Bible seminar that enables you to stretch your faith in a particular direction that gets that healing. Amen. Now I'm going to teach healing today, right? And in this month. But this wisdom actually operates in the different aspects. And if you're very keen, you can get what you're learning here and apply it in a different aspect. I mean in your finances as well. Amen. So, when there is no meeting, when there is no altar call, you can initiate your healing. You can initiate your healing. Praise the Lord. Write this as well. When it comes to healing, faith is enough. When it comes to healing, faith is enough. When we say faith is enough, it's not an amount of faith. It's not the magnitude of faith. It's not the size of faith. It's just the presence of faith. So, as we look at this, I am so convinced that nobody shall retain sickness after this series. I promise. You are going to look for conditions and you can't find them. Have you ever looked for your backache before and you can't find it? I am so convinced. So, take these sessions like a doctor giving you instructions. You know, when a doctor gives you instructions and you're very sick and he says, do 2 by 3. Many of us don't second guess doctors, right? We just want to be aware. In fact, when he says we believe it, and you realize, sometimes, because they know some people are addicted to drugs, there are drugs they give them which have absolutely no, what they call, placebo. The drugs have absolutely no curative capabilities. But because the person is going to get a capsule and put it in his mouth, he will believe he's well. And they'll be well. So, when it comes to healing, faith is enough. And we're also going to see that this faith is not what perhaps you have believed to be faith. But faith is saying, for his case, when I see the man of God, I'll receive my miracle. When I come near him in the morning, I'll be well. When he lays hands on me, I will be well. That is faith. So, when we are looking at this, I want you, like, receive it like a doctor is giving instructions. And when you do these instructions, you'll be well. Praise the Lord. Many of us release our faith more for medical help than we do for divine healing. Now, medical help is not bad. In fact, I have medical people here, right? I know he's a pharmacist. Do I have any other medical person in the house? Many of us actually use our faith with drugs. Now, doctors know, if you ask doctors, they know that what they are giving you is not a guarantee, am I lying, that 100% you're going to be well. That's why most medical situations, you will always find doctors will never give 100% guarantee. Take these drugs. After 3 weeks, we will see. Finish this dose. So they give with an expectation. Many of you have swallowed flu tablets. I was shocked. I think I found out 2 years ago that they are not drugs for flu. Like, they don't cure flu. Did you know that? They just deal with symptoms. So you swallow, because flu comes with a headache and sometimes lack of sleep, so they deal with the headache and you sleep. But they are not curing flu. But how many of us swallow them? In 3 days you feel well. Amen. Because you have applied faith. Amen. Doctors will do naturally what God intends to do supernaturally. Doctors will do naturally what God intends to do supernaturally. When you go to the village, and I really pray that I teach this very expansively. It also has a lot to do with your expectation, right? When you go to the village where they are not exposed as you to Omarion Varias, Delta, all those ones, and they are not reading Dr. Cheng's results every week on Twitter. This week, 17,000 cases, 4,000, what? They don't do those things. Isn't it interesting that it always seems as if they are not falling sick? A child who is not aware that there is a disease called dysentery will take water from a tap. I heard people who were in boarding schools always took water from a tap. And they never got sick. But also when you are in a village, when you feel anything, they just give you some green thing. They tell you, take this thing, you are going to be well. I think you just fear the sourness that you just become well. Who knows the active ingredients in those green things you take? So everyone, whatsoever is at their disposal, is the faith they will apply for their own healing. If you go past all these our modern clinics all over the place, you'll find big cars. UBK. You know, even just past Nigeria Hospital, there's UBK, Mercedes-Benz, Penkoni, what? Rich people are always sick. Do you know why? Because they have medical insurance. Now, the problem is not the insurance. It's just that everything they feel, because they can access medical help, they go to the hospital. I was telling you guys, I've never gone to a dentist all my life. Then I got medical insurance. Huh? Then my teeth started hurting. Now medical insurance doesn't make my teeth hurt. Then my teeth started hurting. Then I made an appointment with the dentist. So, I remember this was one of the weeks I'd actually just preached in church. I'd never been at a dentist. The next week I got, people who know me, they know I love meat. So anything that stands in the way of me eating meat is shaitwan. So my teeth couldn't take meat. So I made an appointment. It took long. A good thing it took long to give me a date. So, but before I went, I remembered I used to speak. So I said, speaking again, my teeth are well. My teeth are fine. There is no problem. My teeth. No cavities. These teeth have, they speak the word of God. How can they have? So anyway, the appointment reached and I went. One of the best dental clinics in the country. Sat there, I lay on the dentist's chair, put all these things in my mouth. Very evasive. You feel like someone is entering your privacy. The guy did magic there. He said, no, actually your teeth have nothing wrong. I said, really? He said, yes. Now when he said that, I remembered I'd used my words. But I could have as well put my faith in extracting it. You know, you almost have nothing. Because every time you feel pain, it's jemu, the saga of Rumi. But it almost feels like, for every person, whatever is at their disposal, it seems like that is the place where the alleviation of their pain will come from. So, the reason why it feels like poor people don't get sick is because they know they can't afford it. Am I lying? You rarely find them with some things. Because, you know, come on, so, number one, they will live without expecting. And rich people live much better than poor people. They take multivitamin, they eat all the food values,
Whereas the other people only eat carbohydrates. Just eat them in different colors. White carbohydrates, yellow carbohydrates. If you have balanced diet, go have in mind. But they are healthy. They are healthy. You could look at people in the villages. You are the people who have been dying with masks in Kampala. And there are very many things we're going to share about, but some of you have corrupted your minds that this is why you catch these things. You have medical stuff, you're reading, you're meditating, you're taking it in. So anything that happens to you, say, hey, you just feel like a pain here, you Google, sharp pain. Google won't disappoint. We said you 13 trillion results. You kick on the first one. What are the possible? Could be cancer. Could be what? Could be. You start to meditate. Before you know it, you hear, you feel another symptom. One time I had this bad pain in my neck, like my throat. I spoke the word. It wasn't leaving. About 2 days, I went to visit someone. I kept touching here. So she's a medical practitioner. She told me, what's up? I said, nothing. Just pain. I had not thought about swollen lymph nodes or what, or whatever. So she told me, you could have A, B, C, D. Yeah, me, I can't tolerate pain. You go and they check you. So I went. I reached the hospital because they like to make money. They want to first do, what is it called? See what? That thing where they take your blood for malaria. I told the guy, I don't have malaria. He said, we just have to be sure. He checked. He says, it seems like everything is normal. I was like, I told him, he said, they have a pain. I said, okay, it could be, we'll give you antibiotics. Now, antibiotics is another thing which is also like, really. And then he told me, if the pain remains, I will not forget this. The guy told me, if the pain insists, you come back. I said, the pain will not insist. You know, I forgot that those are my face things I'm supposed to say. But I told him, it will not be there. I went home. I took those drugs. Only 2 days I stopped. Because I was still using my words. Amen. So we're going to learn all those things. How to appropriate healing in your body for your space, for yourself. Now, and you are going to learn how to practice healing. So there are 7 simple things you should always remember about healing. 7 simple things. We're going to write them. 7 simple things. Number 1. 7 simple things you should always remember about healing. Again, when I'm teaching healing, you either need it for yourself or for someone. So please pay attention. Number 1. Healing is a sign of the redemptive work of Christ. Healing is a sign of the redemptive work of Christ. Healing is a sign of the redemptive work of Christ. A sign that Jesus is our Savior is that He heals our bodies. A sign that Jesus is our Savior is that He heals our bodies. See, when it comes to salvation, we know we are saved because Jesus Christ died for our sins. But do you know that no one receives salvation just because Jesus died for their sins? Just because Jesus died for your sins is not the reason you're saved. Just because, you know, John writes in 1 John chapter 2, should be verse 2, that is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. But the whole world ain't saved, did it? It is not saved. So, a person is saved because they believe, not because Jesus died. Similarly, nobody is saved because they talk about Jesus dying. You say, Jesus died for the sins of the world. That is Jesus, the Son of God. He takes away the sins of the world. That doesn't make a person saved. A person can say, Jesus is the Son of God. A person can say, Jesus was a good man.
A person can say Jesus was crucified. A person can even say Jesus died for the sins of the world, but they don't believe it. They are only mentally assenting to it that Jesus died for sins, but they don't believe it. They have not believed it. And they cannot be saved. You cannot be saved until Romans chapter 10, should be verse 10, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead. Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You are not born again because you go to a born again church. You are not born again because your parents are born again and you do family altar. You may even be saying amen on family altar, but you are not born again. There must be a persuasion in their heart. That's why the gospel is important for salvation. A person has to hear and is persuaded to believe. And confession is made unto eternal life. Then they are saved. Similarly, healing is like that. Nobody is healed because Jesus heals the sick. Nobody is healed because they know God is a healer. But you have to believe it. That Jesus heals my body. That Jesus heals my body. Hallelujah. A man can be sick and saved. A man can be healed and go to hell. Nobody in the four gospels that Jesus healed was born again. So, the fact that a person got healed doesn't mean they are saved. But because you're saved does not mean you're healed. Because the Holy Ghost is in your heart does not mean that you have healing in your body. Are we together? Yes, sir. So, healing is a sign of a redemptive work of God. Mentally assenting to something, you can repeat it, you can say it, but you don't act upon it. This is very similar. This is often the case when it comes to the subject of tongues. You show someone tongues all over the Bible, they say, you ask them, do you believe you have the Holy Ghost? You say, I have the Holy Ghost in you. Do you believe tongues come from the Holy Ghost? Yes, tongues come from the Holy Ghost. Do you believe a believer can speak in tongues? You say, a believer can speak in tongues according to Mark 16 and 15 and 16 and 17. Everyone that believes in my name shall speak in other tongues. I see it. They can even say, I believe it. Then you tell them, let's speak in tongues. They say, well, I want to wait. You don't believe it. That is mental assent. E.W. Kenyon taught that. You believe by acting on it. You believe by acting on it. When you got born again, I think Pastor Soto told us last week. He said, in fact, the day I got born again, they were preaching the gospel. I heard, I believe, I received. He said, the very next day, I stood up and I told someone, I am born again. I have believed in the message of resurrection. Because he had believed in his heart. The confession is coming forth. Sometimes we believers, we concentrate so much on the confession of what we don't believe. And usually, when we go out of public, our acts actually show we didn't believe. Praise the Lord. And you're going to realize, even when it comes to healing, we always give an action to do. Act on it. Act on it. They say, I believe I'm healed. Act on it. Get out of bed. Or say, I'm healed. Get out of bed. Try to stand up. That is believing. That is acting on the word. The way you talk about it will begin to change because you believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're learning something. Mental assent admires it. Mental assent talks about it. Likes it. You say, people got healed. A guy stood up and gave a testimony. He said they had gone to a hospital. You only remember the jokes. But someone else could have said, wow, be it unto me as well. Say, I believe it. I believe it. So I act on it. Matthew chapter 8. Are we learning something? We've just started. Healing school. This is healing school. Tell your neighbor, this is healing school. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled. Matthew 8, 17. That which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Hallelujah. He healed many that were sick that it might be fulfilled. Okay? So the healing of sicknesses pointed to salvation, because that was quoted from Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 from verse 1 was talking about salvation. So the healing of the bodies is a sign of the redemptive work of Christ. Amen. So when we see healing, it points to what God did in Jesus in saving the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 1 and verse 3 says that this word, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which the Lord first spoke, and then it was spoken by them that heard him, which he confirmed with what? Miracles, signs and wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost. So those gifts of the Holy Ghost are confirmation, healings, miracles, are proofs of salvation. Hallelujah. Or they are evidences of salvation, or they are pointers to salvation. Praise the Lord. But it's the first point. Matthew 11. Remember, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He said in John 1:29, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. You know what happens later? John was arrested by Herodias. And when he was in prison, he sent his disciples to go and tell what? Ask, are you the one? Matthew chapter 11, let's read there. Come on, stay with me. In Matthew chapter 11, what did they say? We're going to start from verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison on the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou, sent to Jesus, art thou the one that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, in other words, are you the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world, or should we wait for another? Look at Jesus' answer. Let's read it together. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go show unto John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Poor have the gospel preached unto them. So the raising of the dead, opening of deaf ears, cleansing of lepers is proof that the Lamb that takes away the sins of the whole world is here. So your body being whole is proof that the Lamb that takes away the sins of the whole world is here and is in me. So healing is a sign of a redemptive work of Jesus Christ. In Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? And with power. What did he do? He went about what? Doing good. What is he doing good? Healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, because so doing good is healing the sick. And Luke tells us here in Acts chapter 10 that sickness is a work of the devil. Amen. You know, sometimes you're sick, or people are sick, not you, because they have been careless, right? And some of us have accepted sickness. I shouldn't have taken cold water. I deserve what is happening to me. That is, I didn't wear a mask. That's why I'm sick. No. You see the work of a devil. I would rather believe all sickness is from the devil so that I attack all of it seriously than thinking some of them is caused by plasmodium and plus bacteria and plus virus. I don't know what causes some diseases. I don't need to know. I just want to beware. Some of us just look for, you know, the bacteria that causes it. It is called streptococci. It goes in the liver. In fact, it grows and sagalamanya. Mbulira, is it sickness? Get it out. I want to be well. So I don't care whether it's Omicron, Ovarion, or what. Who are the other ones? Do never, never now. I just want to be well. Many people have gotten flu and they have diagnosed themselves with corona. I don't care. Flu, corona, cough, all their sisters. I want to be well. It's all the work of the devil. Oh, the devil. So get it out. Get it out of my body. I don't want it there. Headache is not from God. Ah, I know. I stood down at the sun for long. Beware. Beware. Don't rationalize with any sickness. I'm going to say, when you get headache, you buy, what's the thing called? What's the headache tablet? What? You even know how they look. Because you are used. Ah, the one who told Gujan, Gunuma, and Gusara, but Gunno, but a Gunuma. I don't care. It's all headache. So you find Christians, they have a powerful medical. What do they call it? A cabin full of drugs. They have drugs for everything. One time I went to a pharmacy. I wanted to get drugs for my wife. This woman was on the counter. She stood there for like 40 minutes. She was buying, or she was also telling the pharmacist, giving him ideas. You know a person who has overbought drugs. By they even have rapport. The few times I've been to a pharmacy, they ask me which one. I tell them I don't know how they look. They have sent me for so and so. How many do you want? I ask them how many is enough. Because I don't need to know. Now I'm not saying drugs are of the devil. Sicknesses. Remember, doctors are trying to do naturally what God intends to do supernaturally. Amen. Parents, you must learn how to speak healing over your children. Speak healing over your children. Amen. I remember when I was young. How many of us, you know, you're raised in the 90s, you put beads in your nose, you put things in your ears, some of you even were eating caterpillars. But the only medicine your mother would give you is a slap. China gori. And then they tell you to go and bathe, right? This generation, when they find their child near a caterpillar, you were younger, where has a caterpillar found their child? But I'm not saying it is wrong, but you know. First of all, I'm going to teach you something. Some of us wait for sickness before we speak the word. But in seeing what day, you have to move when you're immunized in the Holy Ghost. You have to move when you are inoculated. On Christmas Eve, you see, this is the thing, for me, this is the thing about awareness and expectation. On Christmas Eve, I went to, what's that market? Kalere Market. Kalere Market. True story, Pastor. I entered the market and I was the only one with a mask. I told my brother, do you realize I'm the only one with a mask? He said, I am.
You know how Kalere can be.
On Christmas Eve, the news is saying, what? I was the only one with a mask.
Mbutufu spiritual iningamba bana abantu tebasobola alwala. No, sikulimba.
Now, I'm not saying don't. I was like, what? They have no awareness, no expectation, no. They are living like that. Corona doesn't exist. Now, of course, there is a wisdom. But I can guarantee you, if you actually check them, even if they had it, they kick it out. Because they don't know. And they leave. While our elites in SCs with a bag full of masks in their cars are the ones catching all the variants. There are some people that have gotten sick of all the variants. So now, I don't record. I think some people just find some happiness is being sick because of the attention. Like it's fashion. With the casing on the hand, because you want to take photos and people feel pity for you, may the Lord deliver you. Me, I fear blood so much, my own blood. I will go to say this, my wife is already laughing. That I went to donate blood. When I saw my blood coming out of a body, I fainted. So, I don't know how you can convince me to be in hospital. I can't do it. I can't say that. God, I have to be healthy. Last time I went to take off that story I told you to check my blood, I looked the other side. The girl who was taking my blood wanted to laugh. I told her, me and blood, we don't do, put your teeth in the other side. I told her, is there another way you can find out without taking my blood? This blood is for atonement. It's not for... But it was the nurse's fault. That's why I almost fainted. She was taking my blood. I think what happened, you know that injection is big for donating blood. And they put the thing here. So I went. Yeah, it's a blood donation drive. I was first of all scared. But they overconvinced me on the what? The announcer. So I said, let me go. And I looked fat. So I thought I had a lot of what? Blood. So... the lady put an injection on me. Now, how many of you have ever done that exercise? You see how the blood comes out? The blood first comes out. Now, when it enters, it's called the pint, that sack. The blood first spreads all over you to catch out. So when I saw that, I think I first got scared. Then my heart, blood did what? There's something it does. So I got scared. Then, it first stopped moving. So this is the nurse's problem. The nurse said, hey, Kati, we are gamba. Eh, nani manyi fudde. Yeah, kona problem. Until now, I think I need to first sit with a therapist to donate blood. I need to. Yeah, I don't think I can do it on my own. I need to sit with a specialist. They tell me it's okay. Blood moves, I don't know, but I don't think I can do it. But it's her problem. She should have never said A. If we were to measure faith, it takes more faith to be saved than to be healed. I'll say that again. If we were to measure faith, it takes more faith to be saved than to be healed. Number two, I have 7 things to share. Meanwhile, our time is running. Number two, and you know, for a Christian, the faith of salvation you have, you don't need extra faith for healing.
Because you're already in faith. So you act on it. Remember what we said? What you believe, you do what? You act on it. Number two. Seven facts you have to know about healing. Seven simple things you should always remember about healing. Number two. Healing is the will of God. Number two. Healing is the will of God. Say healing is the will of God. Say healing is the will of God. This may seem like the simplest fact, but it is the most unpracticed. It is the least practiced. Healing is the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Write that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for healing if you don't believe it's God's will to heal. You know that, right? If you think God is putting sickness on you to teach you a lesson, or is putting sickness on you because you're living in sin, or putting sickness on you to show himself he can humble you, to show you don't joke with me. Any day I can make you sick and I can make you well. Interestingly, some people will say, God has put this sickness on me to make me humble. You will also find them going sometimes to the hospital to get medicine for their sickness. So in other words, you are going to the hospital so that the doctor can walk, can resist God's will for your life. If it's God's will for you to be sick, don't go to the hospital. Amen. Healing is God's will. Amen. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 is loaded with healing. Verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Verse 2, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. So the leper said, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. So, healing is God's will. Healing is God's will. There must never be another opinion in you outside this. That means, even if the pain increases, you maintain your stance that healing is God's will. But the symptoms are still there. No, healing is God's will for me. But you know, I still feel general body weakness. So are eyes. I still maintain healing is God's will. Even if 1 week after another, things seem to be getting worse, I maintain God wants me healed. Hallelujah. Healing is God's will. When you want to be well, you must meditate on what brings this atmosphere of healing. Even when you are in the middle of using medication, you must maintain that healing is God's will for me. See, the problem with some of us is when we are sick and believing God's for healing, we surround ourselves with all the negative aspects. Let me tell you, for instance, if you develop a flu or a cough, that is not the time to see that there are new cases that have been discovered. Let me tell you, you're going to develop all the other symptoms. Again, a doctor friend of mine told me that he was working one of the hospitals in Tinda. He told me one time, that time when there was still some good fear about COVID, he said there was an office around where someone in the office was diagnosed with COVID, right? So when he came to the hospital and they said he had COVID, this is what he said. He said the next day, when the people who worked in the same office heard that he had COVID, all of them developed symptoms. The next day, when they knew that their friend got COVID, all of them developed symptoms. This is a doctor telling me. He said, interestingly, When they were all tested, they were all negative. And when they knew they were negative, the symptoms disappeared. What are you meditating on? If you want to be well, listen to healing city after healing city after healing city after healing city. Tawulira abagamba omanyi mukama yanteka ko buno bulwadde naye mtambudde amawanga gonna nga mbuja ku bantu nti mukama HIV. Ulira abawonye bokka. See, there is something I'm doing in this month. It's very radical. Only my wife will tell you. When you go after renewing your mind, it's something I taught last month. I don't know if you paid attention. About getting the knowledge of God from inside your spirit to your mind to overwhelm you. You must saturate your mind with healing. You saturate your mind with healing. Don't listen or watch anything that is anti-divine healing. If you're believing for healing, never surround yourself with anything that can create unbelief. A story is told about Aretha Hagen, the wife of Brother Hagen, that there is a time she was diagnosed with a heart condition, a very fatal heart condition, that she was to die. So she went back home and told Brother Hagen, the husband, Kenneth E. Hagen, and told him, you know, this is what the doctors have said. Brother Hagen told her, well, you know what to do. You know what to do. So she said, you know, the next day, it was still there. She was bedridden. She was sick. So she said, this is what she did. She locked herself in the room and got all the teachings of Brother Hagin on healing and listened to them every day. Every day. Circulated her mind every day. 1 week after another week after another week after another week. He says that even in some of the meetings she was there, she got those audios and listened to them again and again and again. In a few weeks, when she went back to the hospital, her heart was completely new. That is the power of meditation. See, the power of meditation is, you see, right now you can say, I believe God heals. But you don't. You just feel like you do. Let me tell you. You know you're renewing your mind. Because I've challenged my mind over the last month on something, and I'm still doing it. I'm going to do it for like 6 months. And then when what I'm meditating on, that is how you. And the more you have heard certain wrong things, the more you should hear the right things aggressively. You think coming to one service helps? One service you can agree. I saw where he read, I agree. Is when you go back home. Sometimes this is how you know, like for healing, that you have caught it. And say, I feel pain in my back. When you have renewed your mind, there are certain responses you have, you discover, that wherever you go, the possibilities of where you're renewing your mind in are what you see. You now know you're renewing your mind. Amen. Are you with me? So listen to that. You leave CDC alone. Even CDC doesn't know what is happening. Stand in faith. People can be sick around you. You might have been exposed. But who hasn't been exposed? I'd rather say, no, I stand in faith. There was a bug going around in the last few weeks. I don't know. I think I know over 60% of people who have been having flu and cough. Many people didn't eat Christmas well. But you see, I said, no, it shall not come near me. Now, it doesn't mean the people who got it don't have faith. It means me, I refused. Because again, I needed to eat meat in peace. Christmas and I'm I can't even imagine it in my head. Christmas. I don't even know how it. I don't know. I must beware. See, this is how you protect your mind. I told people, when those bomb things happened, I told people, until now, I've never known what happened. I don't want to hear it. I was planning Bible seminar. I would start to think, maybe I'm preaching. The Holy Spirit to me, I see a bug. I start to fear. So I choose that I won't meditate on it. Yes. I just take it away. Whatever destabilizes my balance, to have in perfect peace my mind, I put it away. Because I need to focus. That's why I don't watch news. I've not watched news for years. News is not bad, but I realize it is never good. I remember I used to watch the news, and I'll become angry. Some of you are like that, you are angry. You don't know, you come home, you... True story. When I realized some of those things are evil, is when, around elections, me and my wife argued for the first time. I said, this can't be good. Because of elections. That is the last day I had the results that were happening. I voted. Things were going a certain way. Then they flipped. Obusungu nebuja. So your wife now can become your enemy. Some of you start saying mutuba. Katisagara stress. I need to keep my mind a particular way. Amen. Manchester United started being not good for my mental health. So I've put it on the side. One of my friends was saying, money is not good for your mental health. I hadn't watched football in 2 weeks. I was okay. I was excited. They put on, these guys were playing poop. I said, what is this? I said, So I'm putting football on the side. You know? Kind of matches at night, you say, Kale Singana, so me move Bible. Anybody ever like that? Kale Singana. Singana goes them devotion. I'll stick with basketball. My basketball team is doing well. It is enough. After all, it is also a month of seeking God. So I become so bad and negative. I even told my friend, I knew very well words. I said, I don't believe money will ever be well again. I said, I don't believe it. I said, five managers still doing nonsense. I said, these guys are not serious. So keep your mind. Number three, your body. In John 9:3, they asked Jesus about that guy who was born blind. And they said, who sinned that he was born blind? Jesus said, nobody sinned. What is important here is that the power of God must be realized. So when you see sickness, remember I told you, it is important to view it as the devil. Not someone did what or did what. So deal with it. Get out. Number three, your body is mortal and frail. Now, some of us use this statement, I am only human. We use it negatively. How about, my body is mortal and frail, so it is a candidate for the healing power of God. Amen. Amen. My body is God's target for healing. Yes. My body is God's target for healing. My body is a candidate for God's power. Don't strengthen natural facts by repeating them. If you say you're only human, who doesn't know? How does that help you? You know, sometimes we'll be tired, which is rightly so. We are tired. But we need to do other things. You are tired. The whole world can see you are tired. You also know you are tired. What does it help you to just keep repeating, but now I'm tired. But now I'm tired. And the more you say it, the more tired you become. How about if you say, you know what? In my body, the strength of God is working. Right? You know what? My body may be mortal, but the power of God is working in my body. My body is an avenue for the healing power of God. Amen. My body is an object and a candidate for God's healing power. Number four, healing is a miracle. There's an apostle, a man of God. Some of you know him. He's called Apostle Ndifor, and he says miracle, and he does miracles. I think when you say it nicely, they happen nicely. I say miracles. Healing is a miracle. Healing is a miracle. A third of Jesus' ministry of the supernatural was healing. Wow. A third of Jesus' supernatural ministry was healing. I can't say. A third of the will of God is healing. Imagine. Imagine for me not to be healed. How? When the will of God is healing. Healing is a miracle. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to be well. You see, the brother said, you know, I just said when I see apostle, someone said, now what was that cold water? It may be very cool. Over cold water, over warm water, when I just want to be well. Did I get up and ulcers is gone? Wonderful. Did I get up when back pain is gone? Wonderful. Don't ask me what is cold water. What was that? The man is well. He's here. He's over a month. Amen. Amen. One of our services, I think a few weeks back, those are services we had. I told people, I think it was what condition I called out. Was it back? Backache. This lady, she's here actually. Then I told her, come towards me. Is it you I told? Come towards me. Now that was the instruction. Now she could have asked me why. What is incoming that I can't receive from here? So many of us have looked away to it. Rati Jesus ya wandu la mtaka. Rati. You also be blind. You see if you won't do anything. People don't know. This man went to all hospitals. Some people don't know what it means to go to all hospitals. But some people have also never lived with pain. Pain is uncomfortable. Anything that can wake you from sleep, abamunjala yevazukusa, ne? Mwagalo, injele kuzukusa tiyavuza, sima? Pose injale ruma. I think it's like pain for some people. But pain can make you fail to sleep. I remember when I had ulcers, I would literally want to get a knife and drive it through my belly. That is how much pain I had. So a man went everywhere. You know, someone can start saying, wah, Ravika Olimba. But you are the one who knows where you are. But you are well. Whether they understand what is cold water, you be well. Amen. So, healing is a miracle. Healing is God's power working. Healing is a miracle, not an observation. Healing is a miracle, not an observation. So, if you came here and you want to be healed, you know, you act on that faith and say, I'm going to be well. I am well. A, B, C, D. I am well. Sometimes they can call out your condition and refuse to stand up. That is already refusing. Amen. Many things happened to people in that meeting. You received healing. Maybe some people received healing also. Maybe they have not got an opportunity to say. But there could have been another person in that meeting who said, imitate. What is happening here? And they didn't notice anything or sense anything. And for them it was normal. But you directed the power of God with your words. You directed the power of God with your actions. And you said, I'm healed. Amen. It can still be a miracle when you're using medication. Now,
You will know you're trusting in medication, not God. You will know. And when you're trusting in God, even when you're swallowing drugs, you will also know. Now, I'm not saying some of you throw away your drugs. But you can believe God while you're taking medicine. And another person, that's why for me, there's a time I threw away my drugs. For ulcers. Years back, I've never swallowed again. But it will not be right for me to teach another person that to be in faith means to put away your drugs. Maybe their faith has not yet what? Grown. I remember I think there's a man who put away his drugs and he died of cancer. And he thought he was in faith. If he was in genuine faith, he would have come. Amen. So, your faith persuasion is not you following my action. That was his action. Your action can be, if apostle texts me, I'll be well. Some of you tell us, I want to get this job. I've done interviews. You pray with me. And that is their point of contact. And from there you say something and they get their work. And they get their job. Yeah. Yep. You can use your medication, but don't put your trust in it. Put your trust in God. A miracle means that the power of God is in active form. Let's run through the last two. Healing is a prayer point. Number five, healing is a prayer point. Healing is a prayer point. Healing is why we pray. Healing is why we pray. Imitate church members, listen to me. When someone is sick, don't pray the Pauline prayers for them. I pray for you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the eyes of God. I don't want the eyes of my understanding right now to be enlightened. I want to be made well. Amen. That you may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That you may be filled with the fullness. How do I get well? James chapter 5. And also, when a person is sick, don't look for people who will tell you sorry. Now, if it is your pastor, there is like a fatherly requirement for me to first say sorry. Eh? So you understand. Because if many of you told me, Pastor, I'm down FBCD, if I didn't say sorry, you may be offended. So as a preacher, as a pastor, I may be entitled to say sorry. Netogena whatever gonna call it became a splash. And I'm like, oh, you're not feeling well. I'm a way back. That's not good. Is when you come. There's a lady who came for 31st. She said she was so sick and so down. And she entered that prayer match while it is hot. Kayaba, lakasata. Ah, she said, by the time it reached 3, she don't know where the sickness left. Many people have come to the meetings when they are sick. And at the end of the meeting, especially Wednesdays, or all the meetings, they look for their sickness and they can't find it. Why? This environment is inoculated by the Holy Ghost. But also, in the presence of the Word, it's very hard to be sick. He said, he sent forth their word and healed their disease. There are times I could have stood up to preach with a flu, but I never blew my nose any one time while I was teaching. It's that environment. But some of us run away from the environment and go to the hospital. Or sleep in a bed and mommy makes us tea. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith is here. Let's read and see what he said. James 5. What does he say? Let's start from verse 13. Who is there? Is anybody afflicted? Let him.
Pray.
Is anybody afflicted? Let him.
Pray.
Don't post on your status. It is in troubled times that you know who your friends are. Pray. Go on phone. He
I had many friends, but in hard times, shut up. You are afflicted. Don't afflict us also. Go on your knees and shile pa pa li bakata. But ovamusala ngo yari affliction ojino onye duka. We overlook for pity parties. I have friends, men of God. When we talk, I leave that meeting and I just want to go home and pray. They have stirred up my faith. They have stirred up my faith. Someone sits in meetings and they say, ah, the economy. Do you know so and so is divorcing? Ah, the other people are so divorced. Really? But I work. Oh, now we're against it. No! If you want to get married, there will be Zeko! Oina Musumba Godwin. Oina Musumba Victor. Oina Anzi. You have Musumba Ronald. Happily married. They are in your environment. Oina Abazungu no Mudugav. The Marinos. Racho no non canida Mama Tendo. How can a Mulokore follow Mama Tendo? Is it Mama Tendo the one who is always with problems? Mama Tendo page, right? Ah, then you start to suspect your husband. Mama Tendo, they have renewed your mind. And you're expecting evil. And you'll always receive what you expect. So be in an environment of faith. Be in an environment where men have been healed. Be in an environment where men are walking in divine health. Where they are not limping around with COVID-19 and 20. No! Where they are healthy. That's where I want to be. That's my atmosphere. Number 14, verse 14. Is anybody sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord Jesus. And let that prayer of faith save the sick. So, we pray also for healing. Amen. Number what? Number 6. You can come and play for me. I'm prepared to close. For the soul of God. Healing is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Healing is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Which means healing is the will of God. Raising the dead is in the Old Testament. Elisha raised the widow's son. You know, the children of Israel in the wilderness, no sickness came nigh them. You see, that's where I want to live. Where I reach the year ends, I was like, silver day. It is very good to receive healing when you're sick, but it is much better not to be sick. Sickness is expensive, but sickness is also very discomforting. I don't know why anyone would want to be sick. Or to stay sick. Healing is the will of God. Healing is the will of God. Hallelujah. Then lastly, healing can be ministered and healing can be received. Number 7, healing can be ministered and healing can be received. So last month I was ministering healing and people were receiving healing. But now you're going to receive healing for yourself. You're going to learn how to walk in healing. You're going to learn how to get your body well. You're going to learn how to get your body in order. All this, there's a pain that just comes and pierces me. You're going to learn to pain that pain. Because now, you know how healing works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Healing is the will of God. I am healed. I act on the word concerning healing. My mind is renewed that God's will for me is to receive healing, is to be healthy, is to be whole. Just stand up on your feet right now. If you're healing, sick in your body, just begin to say those things right now. Just begin to say those things right now. Begin to say, healing is a sign of the redemptive work of God. Healing is a sign of the redemptive work of God. Because I'm born again, healing is a sign of that salvation. So I am healed in my body. I'm healed in my body.